The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Mishnah and Mesechta Ovis, the beginning of Perek Dalet, the beginning of the fourth chapter, states as follows. Ben Zema says, Ezehu Chochem, who is the wise man? Halemin Mikol Odom, someone who learns from every man. Shenemar, as it states, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti. The Pasuk in Tehillim, where Dovra Melech said, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, Ki Edosecho Sicholi. From all of my teachers did I become wise, because your statutes were like conversation to me. This is in Tehillim Kufyo Yutes Tzadik Tes. Ezehu Gibor, who is the strong man? Hakevish Eshitzrei, he who conquers his nature. Shnemar, as it states in Mishlei, Tes Zayin Lamed Beis, Tev Erech Hapayim Migibor, Umeishel Beruchai Mileiked Ir. He who conquers his wrath is better than a strong man, and he who controls his nature, who controls his spirit, is better from the one who captures a city. Ezehu Osher, who is the wealthy man? Asomeach Bechelke, he who is satisfied with his lot. Shnemar, as it states, this is also a posuk in Tehillim, in Kufchov Ches Beis, Yigia Kapecho Ki Seichel, Ashrecha V'Tev Loch. He who eats from the labor of his hands, from the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, fortunate, and it shall be good for you. Ashrecha Be'ilem Azeh V'Tev Loch Le'ilem Habo. Fortunate for you in this world, and good for you in the next world. Ezehu Mechubed, who is the honored one? Hamechabed es Abriyos, he who gives honor to the creations, to his fellow man. Shneemar, as it states, this is a posuk in Shmuel Aleph Beis Lamed, Ki Mechabda Yachabed Uboy Bozai Yekolu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Eli, those who shall honor me, I shall honor, and those that disgrace me, I shall disgrace. Sometimes we have to examine a particular aspect of our Avedis Hashem, of our service to Hashem. Other times we have to give an overall look at everything that we do, to get an overall perspective and an overall direction. And the Rosh Hashanah, since it's the conclusion of one year and the beginning of a new year, it's a time when one should examine and take a look at the overall picture and try to gain an overall perspective in Avedis Hashem, in serving in Hashem, and in what one's life is supposed to be here. And Ben Zema is coming to tell us a general instruction, not a particular instruction, but a general instruction. Because man was given four four kinyonim, four acquisitions, each one which is a great attribute to him. He was given an acquisition of wisdom, chokhmah. Wisdom is, this is in accordance to his seichel, to the mentality of man. He was given an acquisition of strength, and this correlates to the nefesh of the person, to the spark of life which was given to man. He was given an acquisition of osher. These are his material possessions. And then he was also given an attribute, an acquisition of anur. Honor and reputation. And this correlates to kol ha'odom, man in his entirety. Just like the sages tell us, the Chazal tell us, shem tev kineged kulam, that a good name, a good reputation represents the entire man. And these are the four major possessions that man gains and that man has in this world. And each one is a great mila, a great attribute to him. And this is man in his entirety. And Ben Zaim is coming to instruct us how to understand these acquisitions, which are so much a part of man, and how to utilize them. Now, according to simple logic, we would say, who is the wise person? Someone who has studied a great deal. And here in wisdom, we're referring to the greatest wisdom of all, the Chochmas HaTorah, the wisdom of Torah. Although, many of these principles would apply to all wisdoms. A wise man is someone who has studied a great deal. A strong man is someone who has physical strength. A wealthy man is someone who has Mea kromim u mea sodis, 100 fields and 100 vineyards, and kesev and zov, gold and silver. And an honored man is someone that people give honor to. This is what we would say in accordance to simple logic. But Ben Zaim is coming to teach us that this is not so. And he's coming to teach us something which is very deep. And that is, we want to ask, who is the wise man? Who is the wealthy man? Who is the strong man? Who is the honored person? In other words, we are looking for the name of the person, a wise man, a wealthy man. And on that he tells us, that just because he has studied a great deal does not necessarily mean he's a wise man. Because someone who has studied a great deal, this means that he has an external acquisition of wisdom. But does this not necessarily mean that it is part of the man himself? And we want to give a name. We want to give an identification here to the man himself. For example, if someone has a house, you wouldn't call the man a house. So why, just because somebody has studied wisdom, do you call him a wise man? Or if someone owns a great deal of physical wealth, it doesn't mean that he's a wealthy man. It means he owns possessions, but not that he's a wealthy man. And these acquisitions were given to man in order that he shall acquire them, and they should become so much part of him where they become part of his identification himself. They become part of his identification. And if this is not so, then it is not accurate to refer to him as the wise man, to him as the strong man, to him as the wealthy man, and to he as the honored man. And therefore, Ben Zoma is coming to teach us what does it mean, a wise man, a strong man, a wealthy man, and an honored man. And he says as follows, Ezehu Chochem, who is the wise man? Halemin Mikol Od, he who learns from every man. The reason for this, there are two reasons for this. A person who has studied a great deal, but no longer does he study. For example, in his early days, he went to Cheder. He went to school. He went to yeshiva. He went to university. He studied. But now he's finished with his studies. Even though he's very intelligent and he's learned a great deal. So that's a man who has studied. But you can't call that person a wise man, a bal chochma, where the wisdom is part of him. And even if he continues to study, he hasn't retired from his lessons. The sign of the wise man is someone who learns from every man. Because someone who learns from every man, this shows that he's a mavakesh chochma. He is constantly seeking wisdom. He is a seeker of wisdom. He is constantly interested to be mischachem yeser, to gain further knowledge all of the time. So much so that he will take the opportunity to learn from everyone. You have some people who learn, but they learn from a great rov, a great person. Or lahavdil in secular studies, a great professor. But from others, they do not learn from. This is a mila, this is an attribute from the aspect of the giver, not from the aspect of the taker. Because that person is such a great rov, or such a great professor, therefore this individual is able to learn from them. So the attribute there is from the giver, not from the taker. And the proof of it is this person is unable to learn from others. But when you have an individual who learns from a great rov, but still wherever he can glean wisdom, he takes it. From every person he tries to learn something. From every situation and from everything he tries to learn something. And we're speaking about chokhmah, though. But he learns some wisdom from every individual, not falsities, but true wisdom from all individuals. What is this a sign? This is not a sign that the other is a great teacher. Because he doesn't only learn from great teachers. He learns from great teachers and he learns from small teachers. He learns from great people and he learns from simple people. This is a sign that he is a metzias ha-chochmah, he's the essence of wisdom. That he is seeking constantly to gain wisdom and to grow in wisdom. So someone that once learned, or even he still learns, but his learning is limited to particular situations or particular people, this is a sign that he might have some wisdom. But to say he is the wise man where this kinyan, this attribute has become part of his very essence, no. But the one who seeks wisdom at all levels and at all opportunities, that's a sign that this attribute has become part of him. It's inseparable from him. And on that, Ben Zoma tells us, this is the chochem. This is the one who is roi, who's befitting to be called a chochem. It is for this reason that some say that the great sages were always referred to not necessarily as Chachomim, but as Talmidei Chachomim, where they remained always Talmidim, always disciples, where the wisdom was became part of their very nature. This is one reason. There's a second reason also. And this second reason is in a particular relationship to the greatest wisdom of all, the wisdom of Torah. How is it possible to say that someone is wise in Torah when Torah is so far above the person? It states, kosher kis kesev vizov liknais, kosher liknais kis kesev vizov. It is as difficult to acquire as gold and silver. V'neach lishtaber kishuchis. And it's as easy to be broken as glass. There is nothing more difficult to acquire than Torah. And there is nothing easier to lose than Torah. It has the shortcomings of gold and silver and of glass. And why is this? Because Torah is from another world. It's not a physical science from this world, but it's a spiritual wisdom from another world, which is beyond the person. And therefore, even when he does acquire it, he doesn't have it totally. And that's why the Gemara says you always have to be chazer tomid, going over and over and over, lest you will forget it. So really, to say someone is a bal chokhmah, he owns Torah, this is very difficult. What is the sign that he has a link to Torah? The sign is that he constantly seeks it. All the time he is seeking it. All the time he is seeking it like gold and silver. Day and night, in every situation, every opportunity. And all of the time he's chazal mishnosei, he reviews and revises to understand better, and lest he forget it. So someone who merely has learned, this is no proof that he's a chochma, he's a bal chochma, he is the one who has wisdom. But someone who constantly seeks a never-ending seeking of this Torah, this is a sign that he is the one who is attached to Torah, and he is the one who should be called the chochma. So therefore, Benzema said, Ezahu Chochem, who is the one who's befitting to have this acquisition of wisdom where it becomes a part of his very nature? It's not dependent on how much you once learned or how much you know. It's dependent on your interest to learn. He who has a never-ending interest to constantly learn, this is the sign that wisdom is by him. Haleimed mikol odom, that learns even from each and every person. To be able to learn from a great individual, that's a maila, that's an attribute in the teacher, not in the Talmud. To be able to learn from every individual, that's the sign of wisdom in the Talmud, wisdom in the disciple. And he brings the source for this. Dovra Melech said, Mikol milamda hiskalti, not only did I become wise from my great rabbeim, but mikol melamdai, from anyone that I could learn wisdom from, I became wise from. And then Dovra Melech concluded, ki edosecho sicholi, because the statutes of Torah became like my conversation. Just like conversation is always a part of a person, it is never separated from him, so did Torah become to Dovra Melech, where it became so close to him, it became his very nature. This is the one who it befits the title of Chochma. And then it becomes this acquisition becomes a great attribute to him. Then Benzema went to the second acquisition. Ezehu Gibor Akevesh Yisrael. Who is the strong person? The one who conquers his nature. Now here also, why don't we say that the strong person is the one who has great physical strength and who can be victorious over his opponents and over his adversaries? This also, there are two reasons. Firstly, the one who has a strong physical strength and he can be victorious over his opponents and his enemies. This again is an external acquisition. He is strong because he's able to oppose others. He is able to be victorious over others. This is not a sign where the strength has become part of the individual himself, where it has become an internal acquisition. And also it's comparative. Why is he so strong? Because he was able to be victorious over the next fellow. But if he meets up someone who's stronger than him, he's no longer such a strong person. Why is this person such a great runner? Because he's always managed to win until he loses. He's met someone who's a greater runner, so no longer is he such a great runner. So it's not an intrinsic internal value, but it's rather external. And on this, it's not befitting to give the title Gibor, that this person is a person of strength. That's one reason. A second reason, and this is something which is very important, how can physical strength be considered from the great attributes that was given to man, when no matter how strong an individual is, it is nothing compared to the strength that animals have? You take the strongest person in the world, but the weakest lion will be able to devour him. You take the fastest runner in the world, any deer or antelope can easily beat him. You take the winner of the comrades and put a few animals in the race, it's no contest. And here we're speaking of the four greatest attributes that was given to man, the supreme creation. So how can physical strength be considered a mila, an attribute of man, when all of the animals possess these and even greater? Right, when it comes to wisdom, that's something that animals do not have. When it comes to material possessions, it comes to honor, good. But when it comes to physical strength, how can we classify this as the great attribute of man? So therefore, for these two reasons, we cannot say the Gibor, the person of strength, is he who can conquer his fellow man. But we're talking here of an intrinsic value, an intrinsic acquisition that only man has. And therefore, Ben Zema says, this is Akevish Ashitzra. Man, not man that can conquer his fellow man, that any animal can do, but man that can conquer himself, that no animal can do. Man that can change his nature. Man that can rule over his very nature. As Shlomo HaMelech said, Tev Erech HaPayim MiGibor. He who can control his wrath is much greater than the man who can run a race. U'meishel Beruchai Melekeit Ir. And he who can reign over his nature is much stronger than he who conquers cities. And the reason for this is because Ein lecho gevura gdele mizu, there is no greater strength. Firstly, the the nature of man. And the power of Ra, of evil, which was created in man and in the world, are from the very greatest forces in creation. Secondly, this encompasses every aspect of man. This nature and the power of evil encompasses every aspect of man. Thirdly, it's a wise adversary. Gemara tells us that every day the Yetzer Hara, the power of evil, rises up with new chokmas, with new wisdom. How to conquer man. And fourthly, it's not a one-time contest. It's every day of a man's life. Adje Meser, until the day of his death. Behold, Yem V'Yem. Man is forced to struggle with his nature and with the powers of evil in the world. Minu'urav, from the very youngest days when he leaves the womb until the day of his death. So there can be no greater struggle than for a man to learn how to rule over himself. And therefore, he who can, there is no greater gevura. The Sefer Orches Chaim brings an example that there was once a soldier returning from war. And he met an old man. And the old man said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I'm coming from a war." "And where are you going?" He said, "I'm going home for some rest and peace." So he said, "No." He says, "You are coming from a small war, and you are going home to a great war. Because the enemy that you were fighting against, it's an enemy that if you defeat him, he is defeated. But the enemy that you have to fight against now, your own nature, if you defeat him today, he will be back tomorrow. If you defeat him tomorrow, he will be back the next day. He will never be defeated. Adye Meischo, until the day of your death." Therefore, Ben Zema states, Ezehu Gibor. Who is the one that can be called the man of strength? The man who has this special gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man of strength. What becomes intrinsically part of him, that's the one who can reign and rule over himself. The Vilna Gaon, in a letter that he wrote to his family when he was attempting to go to Eretz Yisrael, it was an aborted trip, but when he was attempting, he writes as follows. He says, "V'zeh kolo odom, adjei meisei tzorecho odom lishasir." He says, this is the undertaking, this is the challenge of every man. That until the day of his death, he must discipline, control, and afflict himself. When I say affliction, I do not mean with fasts, nor do I mean with self-denial or sufferings. Heaven forbid. But rak beresen piv uvetavosov. What is the discipline and affliction that man must impose upon himself? A guard on his mouth and on his desires. V'zehu ha'tshuva. And he says, and this is tshuva. And this will bring a man to the world to come. And if a man controls his mouth and his desires, this will do more from him, for him, than all of the fast days and afflictions in the world. Every minute that a man disciplines his mouth, disciplines his speech, he will be zeicher to such light in the world to come that no man has any conception of this now. This is brought from the Medrash. And as it states, who is the man that wants life, who loves days and to see length of days, let him guard his tongue from evil, usfasecho medaber mirmo, and his lips from speaking cunningness. Ubeze yechupar kol oven. And he says, and with this, he will be forgiven from all sin. Vinitzol lishol tachtis, and he'll be saved from the sufferings of the grave. This is what the Gaon writes. He says, don't worry about fasts, and don't worry about afflictions, and don't worry about other things. He says, worry about guarding your mouth from speaking what you shouldn't speak, and from eating and drinking merely to satisfy one's lusts, that what a person does not need. Ubeze yechupar kol oven. He says, and this is tshuva. He will be forgiven for all of his sins, because he is showing such strength, the Gaon knew, that it's easier to run a marathon than to control one speech. This is the gevura. This is the strength. And then he continues, Kimeshikosuv b'mishleis Shlema HaMelech said, King Solomon said, Shemepiv ulishenai, he who guards his mouth and his tongue, shema mitzores nafshoi, he is guarding his soul, his life, from all types of tzores. Shemer piv, to guard your mouth, what does that mean? Me'achil v'shtia yisero, from eating and drinking, which is not necessary for the body, from overeating and from overdrinking. This is what it means, shemer piv. L'shonei, guard your mouth, your tongue, from speaking what one is not supposed to speak. And he who does this is guarding himself from tzores nafshoi. He will stave off great tzores, great tragedies to his own life. So we see, when we look for greatness, when we look for strength, when we look for tshuva, it's not in the heavens, it's not on the other side of the sea. It's very simple, the Gaon says. And Dover Zeh Yoseh, this is better than kol tanesim besiguvim ba'elam, than all of the fasts and afflictions that one can impose upon himself. And therefore Ben Zoma said, who is the strong man? Not the one who possesses some physical strength, because that has to do with others. That doesn't show intrinsic strength. It shows he's stronger than the next fella, or he can run faster than the next fella, until he meets someone else. And that's a mile and a, that's an attribute that an animal has also. But he who is stronger than himself, where he can rule over himself. And now we come to the third acquisition. Ezehu Osher. Who is the wealthy person? Hasameach bechelkei, he who rejoices in his lot. Why doesn't he tell me that the wealthy person is the person who has hundreds of fields and hundreds of vineyards and hundreds of servants and gold and silver? He is the wealthy person. And here also there are two reasons. Well, actually, if we go into depth, both of them are one. Firstly, we must understand that when it comes to material acquisitions, wealth, this again is an external property. It's external acquisition. It's not part of the man. Man owns 1,000 fields. Buddha brings the case of a man who had 1,000 fields. Actually was one of the Tanoi, and he had 1,000 boats at sea. But that's what he owns at sea, and that's what he owns in the field. But this is external acquisitions. What does it do for the man himself? True wealth is only a wealth which becomes part of the man himself. Not an internal external acquisition, but an internal acquisition, where it becomes an intrinsic part of himself. There are those people who are wealthy because of what they own, and there are those who are wealthy because of the wealth that they derive from what they own. It's very important. There are those who are wealthy because of what they own, and there are those who are wealthy because of what they derive from what they own. The one who's wealthy because of what he owns, that's a balance sheet. And the balance sheet is wealthy. But what has it done for him, for himself? The one who is wealthy because of what he derives from what he owns, that is a wealthy man. The wealth has become part of him. And that's what the Chazal say. Ezehu osher mi sheyesh lei nachas ruach me eshrei. Who is the osher? He who derives joy from his wealth. There are many people who have endless wealth, but they don't derive any joy from the wealth. They do not derive satisfaction from the wealth. So materially they're wealthy, but that wealth has not come to the person emotionally or mentally. So that's a wealth outside of the person, not inside of the person. And these people could be multi-millionaires, but they are not wealthy. They possess many things, but a wealthy man, you cannot say they are. There are others who possess certain acquisitions, be it a great deal or a little, but they derive a great deal of joy. Yeshlem nachas ruach me'ashrei. They derive joy from their wealth. They derive satisfaction from their wealth. They derive brocha from their wealth. This is a wealth not only in material possessions, but it has entered into the structure of man himself, where it's become an emotional and a mental wealth also. And on this we can say, he is an usher. This person is an usher. What good is all of the wealth in the world? Wealth is a brocha. It's a blessing. What good is all of the wealth, this brocha, if the person doesn't derive brocha from it, if he has no blessing from it? And certainly what good is all of the wealth if, heaven forbid, he derives tzoras from it? If he derives, heaven forbid, klola from it, like in so many cases. The wealth of the wealth is how much blessing the person can derive from it. So therefore, Eze Osher, Mi Shiyesh Le Nachas Ruach Me Eishroi. He who can derive joy and brocha from his wealth, he is the wealthy person. On the balance sheet, the one who has more will be more wealthy. But in reality, the one who will derive more from his wealth will be more wealthy. And therefore, Ben Zema says, Eze hu osher, asameach bechelkei. He who can derive happiness and joy from his lot, then he is the wealthy person. Be it whether he has a great deal or a little. He who cannot derive happiness and joy from his lot, then he has no wealth. He has possessions, but he is not a wealthy man. He is a poor man. That's one reason. And there's a second reason. And that is, the Maral tells us, a principle in the physical world is the physical world is always chasera, always lacks. In the physical material world that the Almighty created, there is no shleimus, there is no totality, no completion. It is always lacking. He created it together with the spiritual world. The spiritual world and the physical world complement each other and they become a totality. But alone, the physical world is always lacking. Therefore, a person can never have a fullness from material and physical possessions alone. And the Chazal taught us this in a statement, which is so true that everyone knows it. The Chazal tell us, the Gemara says, "Mi sheyesh le mono reitze b'masayim." He who has a mono, he who has 100, wants 200. He who has 200, wants 400. And this is the nature of the physical world. What did Chazal teach us? They taught us that there is no totality, there is no fullness in material life, in physical life. They taught us, this is so important, some people learn this lesson when they're young. Others, it takes a lifetime. Some people never learn it. They taught us that money does not have the power to satisfy. This is an important lesson. Money, with all of its attributes, does not have the power to satisfy. It is like drinking mayim meluchim, salted water. How much you'll drink, you will never quench your thirst. Mi sheyesh le mono reitze b'masayim. The man thinks, if only I would have this. But he finds when he has this, he is lacking that. If only I will have that. And he finds when he has that, he's lacking this. And many people pursue what they're lacking right to the grave. Money and physical possessions, material possessions, were not given the power to satisfy. And therefore, whatever you have, you will still be looking for more. Because this, the physical world, has no totality or fullness in it. Now, when we make a cheshbon, when we take account, and we want to know who is the wealthy man and who is the poor man, there's two ways to look at it. The one who has a great deal, he is wealthy. The one who has a small amount, he is poor. It's another way to look at it. The one who lacks a great deal, he's a poor man. The one who lacks nothing, then he's the rich man. So Ben Zema is telling us, you must look at it the second way, not the first way. What good is all the wealth in the world if you're still hungry? A hungry man is a poor man. What good is all the wealth in the world if you're still pursuing and running after more wealth because you're lacking more wealth. We must look at it not from what one has, but from what one does not lack. If someone lacks a great deal, then he's the poor man. If someone lacks nothing, then he's the rich man. So therefore, Ezehu Osher, who is the wealthy man? Hasameach Michelkei. He who is satisfied and happy with his lot, and therefore he lacks nothing. The Chazal tell us, a person should never be shesed bekesh shalei, ve'einam bekesh shel acher. He should not drink out of one cup, he should not drink out of his cup, but he has his eyes on someone else's cup. This is the one that no matter what he has, he always wants more. So he's lacking a great deal. The one who drinks out of his cup and his eyes are on his cup, he has what he wants. He's lacking nothing. Then he's the wealthy man. He has this fullness. Actually, when Yaakov met Esav, Yaakov was coming home after being in the house of Laban for so many years, 21 years, and he met Esav. And he sent Esav a very lavish gift. And Esav said, "Take it, I don't need it. Yesh li rov." He says, "I have so much." He said, "I have great possessions." Yaakov answered him, "I don't need it. Yesh li kol. I have everything." What was the difference? Esav said, "I have great possessions." But he didn't have everything. Esav was the Baal Eilam Hazeh. Esav was the master of this world. And no matter how much Esav had, there was still a great deal that he wanted to conquer. So he said, "Yesh li rov. I don't have everything, but I have great, great possessions." Yaakov was the Baal Eilam Habo. He wasn't a material person. He said, "I have everything. I am lacking nothing." So therefore, when we measure wealth, we must measure wealth, firstly, by the wealth that you derive from your wealth, and secondly, not by how much you have, but by how little you lack. And he is the wealthy man. He brings the source from this, from what David HaMelech said, "Yegia kapecho kiseichel ashrecha v'tevloch." He who eats from the labor of his hands, now here it means he who eats, he who enjoys, he eats and he enjoys the labor of his hands, so ashrecha v'tevloch, he shall be fortunate and it shall be good for him, good for you. The Gemara says on this in Masechet Brachos Daf Ches, and it tells us something very profound. It says, "Kol hanene miyegia kapecho." Whoever takes joy from the labor of his hands is yese godel afil miyir shamayim. He is greater even from he who fears heaven. What does that mean? Whoever takes joy, it says, "Kol hanene miyegia godel hanene miyegia kapecho." He who takes joy from the labor of his hands is greater than he who fears heaven. Why? Because by the Yorei Shamayim it just says Ashrecha. And by the one who takes joy from the labor of his hands, it states Ashrecha v'tevloch. Ashrecha b'eilam hazeh, fortunate in this world, v'tevloch b'eilam habo, and good for him in the next world. Now what does this mean? Means as follows, the Maral says. Who is the one who takes joy from the labor of his hands? If we give thought, we will find that there are very few people that actually take joy from the labor of their hands. Why? Because the minute they have a possession, they can't enjoy it because they're looking not at what they have, but at what they don't have. For example, a person saves up, he saves and scraps and works hard, he buys himself a car. He's driving along and enjoying the car until a car that's better than that car drives by him. Now he starts to save for the day when he'll be able to buy a better car. Meanwhile, he's not enjoying his possession. He gets the better car, and he enjoys it until he sees even more expensive car drives by. So now he starts to save for that. A person saves up, and he slaves, scraps, and buys himself a little house. He moves into the house, and he starts to enjoy his house, and he drives by and he sees a nicer house. So he starts to scrap and save until the day he'll be able to move into a better house. And as they gate the Gan Eleven, this is the whole life. A person slaves and works to get a certain position in the company. He's got the position in the company now and everything is wonderful. And all of a sudden he starts to see the position above. Yiddish as an expression is the eigener great grace. What's happening? He never enjoyed life. He went through a whole life, crying about what he didn't have instead of enjoying what he did have. Then there's the rare individual. It's a rare individual that you ask him, are you satisfied with your car? He tells you it's wonderful. It's an old car, an Alta car, but it gets me where I want. It's wonderful. Do you like your job? And this one will tell you, no, it's boring. And this one will tell you, no, it's not challenging enough. And this one will tell you that there's not enough work. And this one will tell you it's too much work and I'm interested in something else. And this one will say, why shouldn't I like my job? He says, Ich mache Leben, I make a living from it. I'm happy. You like your home? He says, my home's my palace. He's happy with his car, he's happy with his job, he's happy with his house, he's happy with his wife, he's happy with his family. And this one, when he eats, he's enjoying what he's eating. And when he's driving, he's enjoying what he's driving. This is the Hanene Miyagia Kapai, the one who enjoys the fruits of his hands. It should be simple. Everybody should enjoy the fruits of their hands. But our eyes do not allow us to enjoy the fruits of our hands. The Yetzer Hara doesn't allow us to enjoy the fruits of our hands. And especially in Western society, where you have the tremendous barrage of commercialization and advertisements. That the minute you buy one thing and you come home and you open the newspaper and you say, nah, I should have saved up and bought that. Let me work on buying that. Godel hanenem yegia kapecho. Greater is the one who enjoys, takes joy from what he's eating and what he's drinking and what he has. Afilu miyore shemayim, even from he who fears Hashem. Because it states, Ashrecha v'teiv loch, he will have this world and in the next world. Now why? And it's a very profound reason why. This is the world which is lacking. There is no satisfaction in the material world, as we mentioned. It's a world which is lacking. Menucha, satisfaction, is in the next world. That's why Shabbos, which is a little window into the next world. Shabbos is the time for tainuk, for satisfaction and joy. This person is finding the level of the next world in this world. He's satisfied in this world. If he can be satisfied in this world, then you can imagine what his portion will be in the world of satisfaction. If he can be satisfied in a world that lacks satisfaction, then what will his portion be in the next world? This is the story with the Vilna Gaon, that someone, a wealthy man, was traveling. I heard this from my Rosh Hashiva, He tells the Rosh Hashiva. Wealthy man was traveling, and he came into an inn, and he could hear through the wall of his room someone learning next door. And he listened, and the melody was so beautiful and so warm, and it was entrancing, that he asked, who was that? And they told him, this is the great Rabbeinu Eliyahu Milvilna. So he went next door and he knocked on the door. He went in and he said, Rebbe, he says, I can hear the world to come. Elam Habo I hear when you learn. Teach me how I also can acquire Elam Habo. So the Gaon said, you ask for Olam Habo, the world which is not here, why don't you ask for this world, Olam Hazeh? It must mean that this world you have. So he told him, no. He said, I'm a merchant. Yes, I have a lot of wealth, but I'm always traveling. In the winter, in the snow, from one end of Europe to the other. I never seem have a chance to enjoy my wife or children or my possessions or so forth. So he said, first, work on acquiring this world. If you'll acquire this world, then you'll have the next world too. But if you can't even acquire this world, how do you expect to have the next world? And this is what he was referring to. The Yorei Shemayim, even the one that fears Hashem, which is a great level, a very, very great level. But he doesn't have that fullness because of his fear of Hashem. He doesn't have that simcha, that joy in this world, that fullness in this world. Therefore, by him it says, Ashrecha, just once. He'll have a portion in this world and a portion in the next world. But the one who takes joy from the work of his hands in this world, he has found satisfaction in a world where there is no satisfaction. He has found the next world in this world. So can you imagine what he'll find in the next world? And therefore it says by him, Ashrecha v'tovloch. Ashrecha in this world and Tovloch in the next world. Therefore, Ben Zoma says, so who is the wealthy? And this is a very important lesson to us. See, the wealthy is not the one that has a great balance sheet. That's a person who has possessions. What does that have to do with wealth? The wealthy is the one who can derive wealth from his wealth. He can derive brocha from his wealth. He can take it into himself, where he has an emotional and mental wealth from it, and where he lacks nothing because of his possessions. So that's not dependent on how much he has. There he can have a great deal, he can have a little. Shenemar, as it says, Yegia Kapecha Kiseichal, the one who takes joy from the work of his hands. And then, the fourth attribute. Ezehu Mechubad HaMechavid Esabriyas. Who is the honored person? We should say the one who people give honor to. Now, just the opposite. The one who gives honors to others. Now, why is that? Just because people give honor to you, it doesn't mean that you are a Bal HaKovod. You are the honored one. Because the honor that you have is what other people are giving to you. The true sign that you are in possession of honor, that you are a person of honor, is if you give honor to others. Why? When a person gives honor to others, what is he doing? He's being chelek kevedoi. He's sharing from his honor with others. Therefore, one who honors other people, this is a sign that he possesses honor, because he can share his honor with others. If you cannot give if you don't possess yourself. One who does not give honor to others, this is a sign he has no honor to give. So therefore, the Bal HaKovei, the one who possesses honor, is the one who shares his covet with others, who gives honor to others, not the one that receives honor. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Melech HaKoved. He is called the King of Honor, Shehi Chele Koved LiReov, because he gives honor to those who fear him. So we see the same thing. Why is the Almighty called the King of Honor? Not because people honor him, but because he honors those who fear him. From the fact that he can honor all of those who fear him, this is a sign that he possesses honor which he can share with others. Therefore, he's called Melech HaKoved. And the same thing with the individual. The one who can give honor, that's a sign that he possesses honor. Not the one who receives honor is necessarily a sign that he possesses honor. And this is just the opposite of the way we think. I'll give you an example. One who's constantly giving away gifts, that's a sign he has wealth. One who's constantly taking gifts, that's a sign he's lacking. One who's constantly taking honor is a sign he lacks honor. One who's constantly giving honor is a sign that he possesses honor. Therefore, Ezehu Mechubed, who is the honored person, where the honor is an intrinsic part of himself, HaMechabed es HaBriyos, he who honors the creations of Hashem. From this we understand what the Chazal tell us, HaReidef Achar HaKoved, he who pursues honor, then the honor will run away from him. And he who does not pursue honor, then honor will pursue him. Why? He who always is seeking honor, this is a sign that he starved for honor. This is a sign he doesn't possess honor. If he doesn't possess honor, then it's not befitting to honor that person. Therefore, he who pursues honor, the honor will run away. He who always runs away from honor, that's a sign because he has plenty covered. Intrinsically he has covered. Therefore, what does he need more? He runs away. If intrinsically he has covered, he is a bala covered. He possesses honor. He is the one who's befitting to honor, and therefore the honor will pursue him. Honor is a garment for the man in his entirety, and it particularly correlates with the Tzelem Elokim, with the image that man was created in Hashem. And therefore it's very important for us to be mechabed es habriyos, to give honor to the creations, because they were created b'tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. And the source for this, Ben Zema brings, ki mechabdei achabed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Eli, this is in Sefer Shmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Eli, he says, Mechabdai Achabed, I will give honor. I give honor to those who give honor to me. Now, why should Hashem give honor to those who honor me? Why? And the answer is, we said, those who honor me, this is a sign that they are the true possessors of honor. And therefore, is befitting to them honor, and I will give to them honor. Achabed, he said, Achabed, Mechabdai Achabed, those who honor me, I will give honor to, because since they give away from their honor, this means they possess honor, therefore I will give honor to, Ubozai Yekolu. But to those who disgrace me, they do not give me from their honor, this is a sign that they lack honor. And therefore, I shall deal lightly with them. So this is the source that Ben Zema brought from here. All of these four attributes, these are the four major acquisitions that man has given in this world. He's given wisdom because he has a mentality and intelligence. He's given an opportunity for strength, He is given material possessions, and he becomes a balakovid, he is given honor. These four acquisitions represent the total man, and they are great attributes. But when are they attributes? Only when their niknas together odom, when they become part of man himself. If they stay outside of man, then they're not attributes. When they become part of man himself, they elevate man. What he becomes, he seeks and reaches perfection. And one final point. As long as they do not become part of man, but they remain merely external acquisitions, not only they fail to elevate man, but eventually they'll become lost. For example, as it states at the end of Masechta Oveis, Kishodem niftorim mina olam, when man leaves this world, ein malavi nesoi, he is not escorted, not by his kesev, his ov, not by his gold, and not by his silver, not by his gold, and not by his precious stones, and not by his pearls, but Torah and Maisim Tovim Bilvad. What escorts him to the grave is his Torah and his deeds. Now, what does this mean? External acquisitions become lost when a person leaves this world. When he leaves this world, he goes himself. His acquisitions are lost. But if they become part of man, then they go with him. They go with him to the grave, they go with him to Gan Eden, and they go with him to Olam Habo, to the next world. So this is what Ben Zoma has taught us. Ezehu Chochem, who is the wise man? Halemid Mikol Odom, he who is constantly, all of the time, seeking wisdom, who is prepared to learn wisdom wherever he can learn it, from everyone. It becomes an intrinsic part of himself. Ezehu Gibor, who is the strong man? Not he who can rule over others, but he who can rule over himself. Hakevish Yitzray. Teverach Apayim Gibor, he who rules his wrath is stronger than a strong man. Meishel Beruchei Melekedir, he who rules his nature is stronger than he who conquers cities. This is an intrinsic strength, and the strength which is unique in man. Ezehu Osher, who is the wealthy man, Hasomeach Bechelkei, he who derives joy from his wealth, where the wealth becomes part of man emotionally and mentally, and who is happy with his lot, where he lacks nothing because of his wealth. Not he who has wealth but lacks a great deal, then he is a poor man. Ve'ezehu mechubed, and who is the honored man? Not he who others give honor to, but he who is capable of giving honor to others, because this is a sign that he has honor which he can give to others. These are the four closest acquisitions to man in this world, and if utilized properly, then man rises to achieve the Avedis Hashem, the service to Hashem that he was put in this world for. We should all be zeicher to Aksiva Vachasima Tova, to be written and sealed in the book of life, Nachas and Sholem, and we should see that should be Sholem to call Yisrael to the entire world. Yeshua is Geul of Yeshua.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.